Hello, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Rehab-Up podcast, where every week we get on board the Hot Mess Express and we talk about all things 90 Day Fiancé. Today, specifically, we will be talking about 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, episode 22, a.k.a. the finale, Apparently, it's come to an end, but they didn't really advertise it as such, and I'm very confused, but I'm excited to talk all about that today. I'm your host and conductor, Puya Zanvakili, ready to go. And as always, I've got someone here with me to talk through all of this nonsense. I've got back with me once again, Rihanna's here. Rihanna, how are you doing today?
I am doing so well. I am so excited to talk the other way with you. Very shocked that it was the finale, but super, super excited to be back talking about the people we love, the people we hate, the people we love to hate. super, super excited. Really looking forward to it.
Same. And it always really is that way. I still can't get over this. So last week when I was talking with Jessica, at no point did I say that I think that this was the finale. I thought we're building up to the finale because they didn't say it on the next time on. And then this happened. I only found out it was the finale because it was trending on Twitter Sunday night. I was like, oh, okay. And then, do we know right off the bat? Let's talk about the ending here. Doesn't look like there's going to be a reunion or a tell-all or anything.
I know. I was so shocked that there wasn't like an advertisement for a tell-all or anything. But then apparently on the 90 Day Fiancé Instagram, Sean dropped like a little teaser saying like, oh, they're not done talking. But people are thinking they might be doing like a Other Way Strikes Back kind of series.
Ah.
I'll watch it, but I'm not happy. Yeah. I'd rather a tell-all.
It's a glorified React channel type content, but I might give it a gander, especially if there's no tell-all. we can talk. So for today, it's special since it's the finale. We can kind of also talk about if we know any knowledge beyond the show, we can bring that up now. So if anyone's been watching this without spoilers, without the Reddit, we can talk about some of that to the best of our knowledge, which I think we have enough that we can wrap up some of these storylines real nice ourselves.
Oh yeah, we got a few things.
Yeah, we got some stuff. Okay, perfect. So as is the nature of this podcast, we're going to go through each couple one by one and talk about their story from start to finish, not necessarily in order. So Rihanna, as the guest, feel free to nominate which couple you want to talk about first and foremost today.
Let's start with Jenny and Sumit. That's where the episode started. Let's start with them. Kick it off in a very dramatic, emotional fashion.
Yeah, let's. So tell us where we were last time and how we started here.
So we left Jenny and Sumit. They were chatting with his parents. Chatting is like a very nice way to put it. They were in the middle of a screaming match with his parents. Their house, and we pick right back up with his parents still absolutely not into the relationship at all, basically saying like there's no way you can marry her over our dead bodies. And then his mom decides to elevate things and threaten to commit suicide if Sumit marries Jenny, and like my jaw dropped. I don't know why I was shocked, because this really does seem like something that they would do, but totally did not see that one coming.
Yeah, it was very much a dramatic, is putting it lightly, I would say. A very tumultuous relationship here, an argument that just kept going on and on. When we came back to the new episode and we were still at the house, I was like, this is not good.
Yeah.
I'm very, very conflicted, because she says that comment and it clearly, no child wants to hear their parents utter those words. No one wants to hear anyone that they love say those words.
Yeah.
Hell, even enemies, I don't want to hear. So to hear your mother say that obviously is cause for concern, and Sumit immediately tries to compromise and just drops the marriage. But you can see her smirking to her husband like, worked.
That killed me. As soon as she says it and he drops marriage, there's this shot of her and the husband just having these really smug smiles to each other. And I was like, ugh, that's just, I mean, I don't know these people in real life, obviously, but that was just, that is just disgusting behavior. Like, how could you, ugh, how could you do that?
Like, I recognize that it's very much a, what is it, culture shock, but it's outside of their traditional norms. It's outside of what their culture understands. The whole, like, the age difference is very much a real concern. It's not just a, we don't like it. It's like a, our society looks down upon it. What would people say? We don't even approve, let alone society. Like, they're just so against the Jenny thing to that they're willing to clearly do anything to prevent that from happening. Now, what was interesting to me was Jenny trying to compare her getting married to Sumit to, hey, 7 years ago when we lied to you guys and said we were just friends, you were very nice to me. It's like, yeah, she thought you were just friends. She didn't think you were sleeping with her son. She
that was so strange. That it's like, you know, when you hear those stories of people who like end up dating or marrying like their parents' friends, and it's like, you guys were so cool before. And it's like, yeah, because I thought you and I were friends, not you're going to go hit on my son and like sleep with him or whatever. I was like, Jenny, as soon as Jenny got in the conversation, I was like, I don't know that we're helping. Like, it wasn't going great before Jenny jumped in, but then she starts trying to compare it to like, oh, you know, when my daughter got married, I didn't like the person. I was like, Jenny, like this, not helping.
Stop. It's not a good look for you. It's not the same. It's not the same. And I here's the thing. My whole thing is that I understand where the parents are coming from, despite like not, you know, accepting it. Like, I'm of the mind of like, you marry who you marry. But I see where they're coming from, but I don't like the means through which they went to get this. Agreed. But also, because I can only imagine what's going on through Sumit's head when he hears this. All he's wanted was the parents' approval. That being said, part of me was like, if I saw the smirk, you must have seen the smirk. Sumit. I feel like Sumit kind of took his foot off the gas real quick.
He let it go pretty quick. And I wonder if it's one of those things, because he even like, you know, once the parents leave, he even says like, oh yeah, that was emotional blackmail. Like, he knows his mom's, you know, doing it on purpose. Right. But I wonder if it's one of those things where he's just like, you know, as soon as she put it on the table, even if she was, you know, faking it, like, he can't even take that risk, right? Like,
you don't. I mean, 1,000%. At no point do you ever want anything to happen and for you to know for the rest of your life, the result was my choice here in marrying someone that they didn't approve of. I like that the dad was clearly like, hey, we won the battle. We didn't think we were going to get him not to marry her. Yeah. Let's just leave it at that. The mom's like, yeah, no, now you need to send her home. I was like, okay. Like,
come home with me. Send Jenny packing. I'll find you a nice new wife tonight. And the dad's like, okay, all right. Like, let's, you know, we got one. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. We got the big one. Cause like, I think that the other thing is, right, so obviously not every couple in the world, not every person in the world believes in having to get married. Right. So there's couples out there that are like, we're living together. We're happy. We've been together 8 years. What's a marriage? Like, so it's different to different folks. I feel like this is one of those situations where Sumit was like, I don't really have to get married. I can just, like, we can be together. It's fine. However, the big stop here, the big pause is Jenny needs to be able to stay here immigrationally, and she needs the marriage to do so. Like, he was like, oh, we'll find you a sponsor. I was like, I'm pretty sure you have to be working to get sponsored, or like, to get sponsored as like, again, like a nanny or like, you know, again, you have to be working in some capacity to my understanding. Or if you're going to school somewhere, you probably can get like a student visa or something. So that was very curious to me of like, yeah, we have to do it this way now.
Yeah, the part about that was strange to me, that I was like, if this really has been 8 years of you guys trying to figure out how to get married and how to get around this, like, why have we not done this research already? You know, like it was like when they went to go speak to that lawyer and they like just found out about this new woman to get married. I was like, really? In 8 years, you couldn't do a quick Google, like a quick ask a friend kind of situation? Because it didn't sound like the lawyer was like pulling out this brand new thing. Like, oh, this was just invented yesterday. I was like, no, people do this all the time. I was like, why have we not done a quick Google? Like, other ways is to stay in India beyond my tourist visa. Like,
I mean, I've made it well known that my biggest pet peeve in the 90 Day Fiancé universe is not doing research and then just spewing at the mouth of like, oh, we'll figure it out. We'll talk about Britney as well, but Britney being like, I don't really know. I'm like, well, you're going to find out it's going to be a hard road ahead. So definitely do your research, kids. Always. The internet is a lovely tool. Okay. But no, so then ultimately, it's very clear that Jenny wants no part of this, which I don't blame her. Because, like, listen, 8-year relationship, yes, good. But 8-year relationship, be damned when she knows how much the parents' approval means to Sumit, and she can hear that they don't want any part of this. So I feel like even her, she's like, part of her is like, I don't really want to have him go through this, because it's very obvious Sumit's not going to be able to have both the way he wants.
Right.
Something's got to get compromised. So,
yeah. And I think for her, I mean, obviously the marriage is like, it helps her get the visa, it helps her stay. But I think the marriage, there's also like the symbolism of the marriage, right? Like the fact that it would mean, okay, we are together, we're committed, people in our lives can see that it's legal, and all, you know, all the reasons people get married. So I think for her, like giving that up and sort of saying like, okay, like, I guess I'm staying here, because Sumit really seems to be like, no, it's not over. Like, I'm not giving up on you. You know, we're still together, work on them. It seems like he's just kind of asking her to sign up for another, you know, 8+ years of this sort of weird limbo that they're in.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, some couples don't really believe or subscribe to needing to get married, but Jenny's not one of those couples. I think beyond the immigration, I think Jenny believes that the relationship is kind of gotten the commitment seal of approval when the marriage happens, right? Because we see at the end of the episode where the next scene we see with them is this picnic that Sumit's thrown together. They're not going to have a ring ceremony, but he still wants to give her a ring. And in shades of Jesse from before the 90 days, a promise ring, not a marriage ring. And I thought Jenny was going to be like, the hell you are. Like, this is not what I want. But she took it. That's all she wants is that commitment. And it was very obvious that that symbolism matters to her more than ever.
Yeah, that was, I felt like all of these stories, they really tried to wrap up with a little bow, and we can get into more of them later, but like playing that lovely music, you know, just sending everyone out in a really sweet way. And this one was so, I was just so happy for them, because it had been like, it had been some painful weeks, especially, you know, all these chats with the parents and everything. And it was like, oh, let them have this win. Even if it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean anything on paper. It obviously means a lot to Jenny. And Sumit was actually, you know, he was really romantic, and he was recognizing that, oh, she's given up a lot, she's been really patient with me. And it's just like, ah, just let them have this nice moment. they deserve it. They need one.
It's so funny to me, because I remember a couple of episodes ago, maybe even a month ago, theory came across our podcast of, hey, Sumit's not really into this. And I was like, you are being ridiculous. He is into this. However, I feel like Sumit is, I don't know. I can't, Raina, I can't figure it out, because like, I feel conflicted, because the romantic in me wants to be like, everyone's in it. Everyone's in it for the relationship, for the love, for the finding your companion to like finish time with. But then I think about it, and it's like, well, you know, you think about their origin story. How did it come to be? There was the whole, like, he catfished her as a British businessman initially. Right. And then she was like, oh, I'm good with it. He said he was working. He wasn't. He said he was not married. He wasn't. Like, he's lied so much. There have been so many red flags, and Jenny stuck through all of it. I feel like at some point he thought, she's going to leave, so I'll have fun with this. And then she didn't leave. And I was like, well, I'm going to commit, I think. I don't know. I feel like somewhere along the way he fell for her probably and has been like in it for the long haul. But I don't know, like, maybe before I would have been like, he's 100% in it. Now I would say he's like maybe 70% in it.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I was starting to get on that train of like, okay, he's not really in it, especially when he was kind of dragging his feet when they went to go see the lawyer. He's like, yeah, we'll see if we can get married. Like, we'll see about a ring ceremony. Like, oh no, you told my brother, okay, we have to cancel that. But then when he had that conversation with the parents, and he's really like going out of his way to beg them. And then even after they left and Jenny was kind of like, well, I guess this is it, I think he so easily could have been like, yep, you know, we tried, okay, see ya. But he was like, nope, I'm not giving up on us. Like, even if we can't get married, like, we'll figure out a way for you to stay. And that was sort of sold me a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. Like, cause he had an out, right? Like, she just saw his mom threaten suicide, and obviously she doesn't want that either. So he definitely had an out, and he could have just been like, you know what? I love you so much, but I, you know, I'm not going to have my mom's death on my conscience, so I'm so sorry, but yeah, see ya. Right. But he didn't. So I think that for me, that was kind of like, oh, all right.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to have to run it back. I'm going to have to run it back and be like, yeah, I'm going to lean with my initial decision of, yeah, no, he's like, they're trying to be together, right? They're trying to be together. Cause like, here's the thing, right? We just said, we'll talk about what's happened since the show, because we know, based on the fact that a lot of them just started getting COVID storylines at the end of the season, that this is at least like 5-6 months ago. So based on that information, I can tell you that as of 2 days ago from intouchweekly.com, the couple is still very much together.
Oh, okay. This was the one couple that I wasn't sure where they ended up. So is Jenny still in India?
So I'm looking at it right now. August 2019, Jenny was spotted at Walmart in Hemet, California. Okay.
Wait, no. August 2019?
August 20. Yeah. Why is this 2019? Why did that thing say 2020? Okay. We'll figure this out as we go along here. I'm going to try and like get the fake news out of here, but I think that they're still together though. Based on everything I'm looking at, it looks like they're still together.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
All right. There we go. ET Online, is saying, me and Jenny cannot marry, but we didn't give up. We are still together. Okay, so then I think we're fine. I think they're still together. Given that I haven't seen anything on Reddit as well, to me that speaks that they're probably together. There's no like messiness there.
Right. If they had broken up, there would have been some posts. Yeah.
And if anybody, there we go. There's an exclusive from ET Online where they talked about to Jenny. Jenny calls Sumit's parents liars and talks about possible engagement. Okay, good enough.
We'll take it. Promising signs.
Yeah, if anyone does any more investigative journalism and finds the truth that was not revealed here, please share it with us on Twitter. I would love to get that information. Thank you. All right. Is there anything else we need to talk about with them? I think we've covered it. I think the show covered it.
That wraps them up.
Oh, I would like to add this question into the mix. At the end of every couple, do you think we're going to see them on some 90 Day show again?
That's a good question. I'm going to say yes, just because they've been a part of this franchise for so long. Mm-hmm. And I think especially if they either still have her in India or they get she does like a back and forth again, like she comes back to America and then goes back to India. I feel like that would be enough. Like there's enough built-in drama there, right? Like nothing's really been resolved. Like the parent thing is still a problem. Age is still a problem. Immigration's still a problem. So I feel like there's enough there. And I feel like people like them enough that they would put, though obviously that's not how they decide who gets put back on, because we've seen couples that people really don't like back again and again. So I'm going to say, yeah, we'll see them again.
I think so too. I think we're going to see them again in some capacity. It seems like they enjoy her and him on the show, so they're definitely probably going to be doing more with that and like bringing them in for another thing, especially if they're gonna continue working this out. They kind of left it in a place of like, well, we don't know whether or not they're gonna be getting married, and that's still a storyline that they can milk. I think we're seeing them again. Now, do I want to see them again? No, I'm over it. It's done. No. The storyline's stale to me. Get rid of it. But if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same page. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, perfect. So I can pick the next couple here. You know what? Let's quickly talk about this. No Melisa and Cheese Stick at all.
Right. I know. I lucked out. I got the finale episode and no Melisa and Cheese Stick. Amazing.
It's a double victory for you. I don't know if they're still together or anything like that. Do you have any information on them?
So last I read, and I can't remember the source, but I'd done some sleuthing last night, it seems like they're still separated. Like he's still in the States, she's still in Colombia. They haven't really said one way or the other, like they haven't revealed that they're dating anybody new. So I kind of think it's exactly how they left it, with sort of like, okay, well I hope to come back, and hopefully we'll be together again, but it doesn't seem like there's been any progress.
Well, that only makes sense to me. I'm happy that we didn't see any more from them then.
Agreed.
Because I'm scared, though. I'm scared we might end up seeing them back on the show.
My controversial take on them is I don't hate them. I don't hate watching them. I do agree that they're a little bit, they're boring compared to some of the other people, but I kind of root for them because their relationship to me seems the most real. Because like the problems that they have, like the cheating, it has nothing to do with, you know, like immigration or culture or anything like that. It's like anyone that could have happened anywhere in the world to anyone. And I love that they have such an actual like ingrained relationship, which we really saw when like his mom and aunt came to visit. It's like, no, they really like, they love her. They know Melisa. They've, you know, spent time together. They support whatever this relationship ends up being. So I'm weirdly kind of rooting for them because it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you guys already figured out, like, you figured out culture, you've kind of figured out the language, you've figured out family. Like, the only thing you need to get over is this cheating, which is like, you know, this happens all the time, all over the place. And not that you should get over it, but like, if you want to, you can. Like, there's ways to do it. So maybe I don't need them on my screen again, but I wouldn't be mad if I got a little like art, like somebody, you know, showed up in my inbox with a little like, here's what happened, here's how it worked out. Like, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, I think for me, it was just like, I just got bored with their story real quick because I think the show didn't pay them enough attention either.
True.
It felt like we were getting crumbs and I was like, I'm not into this crumb intake. Like, it's like Quibi failed for a reason. There was 10 minute videos of a show that I did not want to watch. If it was 30 minutes, I might give it a look. So give me more. No, based on what I'm seeing online, he is still in the States from February, seemingly not been able to go back with the coronavirus pandemic and everything. So he's still in America, but they're still talking as if they're together. And he, like, they posted throwback photos these past couple of days. So, like, they're still involved in some capacity, maybe even to be continuing the storyline for more TV time. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So I will pick with the next one to talk about. I'll pick the couple that I probably care least about the ending here. I'm going to talk about Devin and Jihoon.
All right, big one.
So it's wedding day in Korea, and it's, you know, they call it a factory style wedding a bunch of times, but basically we've seen this before. It's where everyone's booked like an hour for a wedding and they go through it. I thought the ceremony was actually very, very sweet. I love that a lot. I like Jihoon coming out like a wrestler and like trying to rile up the crowd.
That was amazing.
Right. My biggest surprise of all this was Devin's mom.
Yes.
Just so, a different person this second trip into Korea.
Did not recognize Alicia at all. And not just because she had, you know, the hanbok on and the hair done and everything, but completely different person, like holding hands with Jihoon's mom, crying during the ceremony, hugging Jihoon. I was like, who are you? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I wonder if she said at one point, she was like, I don't know if it's the romantic side coming out. I think the combination of being there with her husband and, you know, her daughter being happy and the kids being high energy, like they're in a better place now. Clearly, like, you know, you have when you have a strong foundation, like when you have your apartment set out and that's no longer a thing in doubt and you've built a life there, you're looking better. You're looking happier than when she first got there and there's no apartment. There's like, just anger from Devin, anger from Jihoon, anger from all directions. I think that that's a cause for a problem. But I definitely think Alicia, maybe we were wrong on her. I don't know.
Yeah, because when she first shows up, it's like the first time that Jihoon's had to be a dad in like however long, you know, a year. Mm-hmm. And he obviously has no clue what he's doing. He didn't have an apartment. He didn't might have had a job, question mark. Like nobody speaks English, you know, between him and his parents. And that's a lot for Alicia to be like, okay, cool. You know, here's my daughter and two grandkids. Like, good luck. So I can definitely see. I almost wish that, I mean, obviously not for the drama, but just like for the sanity of their lives, I wish Devin had gone over first with the kids, like got settled, got an apartment, figured out, you know, work, and I don't know, adopted a dog or whatever they did, and then said, okay, mom, like, come on over, you know, welcome to our home, like, see how we're living kind of thing, rather than like figure it out with me. But that wouldn't have been nearly as fun for the TV show. So I understand that why they did it the way they did. I did want to say that Devin's dad is just the most cheerful, happy guy. Like, I think he's rubbing off on Alicia. Just every time we saw him, just grinning, so excited about everything.
I'm like floored at the parents versus the child. Like, what is this combination? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely wild to me. But I did enjoy seeing, you know, Devin was obviously unhappy with this wedding. And regardless of how I felt about her before, seeing her get her dance with her father, I thought was lovely. But my favorite part was seeing Jihoon dance with Drusilla. I really enjoyed that a lot.
My favorite part was how they cut to his parents afterwards and they just totally like shit all over the dances. They're like, we don't get it. He was really stiff. Is this like a weird American thing? It wasn't that fun. Yeah. They were not having the father-daughter dance at all. They did not get it.
They didn't get it. And I felt like, because like they expected it to be like, you know, dancing to like upbeat music and was like, no, this is a slow dance. Like, it's supposed to be a slow dance.
Yeah, they did it perfectly. Just the parents were like, this is a terrible tradition. Why do we do this?
I'm surprised they didn't try and get the parents into it. It would have been fun if they...
Oh, that would have been good.
All the family paired up and did it. Yeah, I would have liked that.
It would have been great.
Yeah. So then... all this happens, and then the next scene we see with them, we jump right into what they teased us with in the premiere episode of the season. The coronavirus timeline is now here, and we quickly get the viruses there. But then that's barely all we got, because the next scene was 4 months later into COVID. 4 months.
Yeah, so that was, I guess, July, right? March to July.
I would assume June, July is probably when it was going off.
Mm-hmm. And that is when things are, it's like complete 180 from the wedding. There's big trouble in paradise. Devin saying, like, my marriage is on the line. And she decides that she needs to go back to the States for a month in order to fix her marriage. And I don't know if we want to get into some rumors and stuff. Now might be a good time.
I would like to do that.
All right. Do you want to take it away, or do you want me to go with what I got? All right. Yeah. So, well, this is, you know, obviously not fully substantiated, but from my internet sleuthing, apparently Ji-hoon had some sort of an altercation with Drusilla where he pulled her hair. And it was like a situation, I think Devin came out and said, like, there was like a bald spot on her head, and like, it was really, really, really inappropriate, and not the way you treat children, obviously, or people at all. And that was the actual cause of her like fleeing South Korea and taking the kids and going. And then fast forward to where they are now, they're both they're not together. They have filed for divorce, and Devin is dating someone new. I think someone local. I think someone in California. So less of a trek.
Yeah. No. So their relationship just completely fell apart. And it's been, and like, obviously this is something I've known for like a while now covering the show. Because if anything, the biggest storyline that's been going around in the 90 day chamber is the Devin and Jiunza, because Devin is, for lack of a better term, unhinged. So there's that stuff. There's that conversation with like something happened between Ji-hoon and Drusilla. Then there's the whole like cheating aspect that's been circulating. Then there's the whole Devin, Drusilla like mishandling their puppy during an Instagram live. And then there's a lot of people like basically for the most part, by the sounds of it, the Reddit is leaning towards Ji-hoon's side of things, because apparently Devin's side keeps changing. She keeps changing her story and things do not add up. It's a lot. And I'm not going to lie to you, while I'm watching the season, I try and avoid reading into those things, because I want to kind of like see how it gets to places first, because but there's so much material on Devin and Ji-hoon, so much material. And basically all we know now is that Devin's in the States. She has a new partner. They have like a YouTube channel thing going on. She's like big into the, you know, she's all online content creation at this point. But like every time an episode came out, she had a new thing she was talking about with regards to like the storyline. And it's like part of me is like, I don't think that Ji-hoon is completely innocent of of everything, right? I mean, those scenes we saw with him just like playing video games and stuff, I believe it. You know, I low-key believe it. Because I also went through something like that when the quarantine happened. I was also like enthralled and sitting at the computer and just doing stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I totally get that. However, my big beef was her saying, in order to fix our marriage, I need to leave. I mean, no, in order to fix your, like, get an Airbnb for a month and like live there separately, then you're fine. So I think that was a ploy of like, I'm trying to leave, like properly leave. I think she had her mind made up.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if she was leaving like in, you know, this summer, like that's not a time when you're sort of jumping back and forth between countries. Like once you make that move, like I think you're pretty set. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was her intention to come back anytime soon. And it was hard to watch, kind of like knowing where they're at now and all the, you know, things happening in their relationship. It's hard to watch in those moments when they really just do seem so sad, especially like Ji-hoon saying bye to his kids at the airport. I was like, ugh, that hurt.
Yeah, he was very, very, it broke my heart knowing I'm like, oh, you're not going to, they're not coming back. Like, it was very sad. Ultimately, this relationship has ended. Mm-hmm. She is now dating someone named Topher Park. And that's her new boo thing. But yeah, apparently she got engaged recently to this man. Yeah.
That seems quick, but congrats.
Good for y'all.
So if she's dating someone who is from the States, that means she's kind of killed her chances of being on another season, right? Or do they make exceptions for her?
She has said so. Okay, so here's what I'm reading in this article. We won't know, considering neither Devin nor Ji-hoon was invited to the show's tell-all, and Devin's refusal to film with 90 Day Fiancé ever again.
Oh.
So she's out.
Totally out.
The franchise, which honestly, I think the franchise is better for it. I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the move here. Yeah. I'm not going to miss this couple. I'm not going to miss this storyline. I'm okay with that. I just hope Ji-hoon's doing okay. And I'm just sad that we don't get to see Ji-hoon's dad. That's who I care about.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be on the tell-all if they do one. We'll get one of him and the mom and the dad.
Yeah. Hopefully. So just a quick update on Melissa and Tim, because I have an article open that's like what every couple is doing now that the show's over. It was published 3 days ago. So they've not really communicated much since the show has premiered. So people don't really know. Either they're private or they're like not really together anymore. So that's the update there. Okay. Now, where would you like to go next?
Let's go to Ethiopia, Ari and Biniam.
Let's go to Ari and Biniam. All right, what you got?
So it is the celebration of Timkat, which is the baptism of Jesus, which apparently is a big deal in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And I love that Ariel is all dressed up and like Binny's all dressed up and they're going out to celebrate. And apparently a big part of it is like a mob scene to get into the holy water. And of course things go off the rails pretty quick because Binny wants to get into the holy water and he has the baby strapped to his chest and Ariella is not having it, telling him it's enough. And then Binny tells us that Ariella didn't want to go to the holy water because her evil spirit is afraid of coming out. And I love that explanation of why she didn't want to get close to the holy water. Amazing.
Yeah, this whole, like, this was to me, I've been saying Ari and Biniam are kind of on a redemption arc for me as far as like my rooting interest in them.
Yeah.
And this episode completed it for me. I'm fully in on them. I love it. I loved every bit of it. Quickly talking about, their interaction about the lemon, I thought was awesome, especially what happened at the end with the lemon.
So good.
It was very cool. Like, so, obviously, there's still some comments from both sides that I don't like. Him calling her selfish for looking out for a 1 month old out in the heat, like with loud noise. Like, I fully took Ari's side there of like, this baby is a month old. I don't want my baby exposed to really loud noises like that. I don't want my baby getting shoved around. One accident is all it takes. So I would err on the side of caution there. But I also love that she went out of her way to try. Right. She dressed up in full outfit, ready to embrace this, and then got there and was like, you know what? Probably not our scene for the baby. So I'm gonna have to skip out on this. But then some of the things, like, she's called it a, you know, cool, quirky little tradition. And I'm like, why can't it just be a tradition? Why has it got to be quirky?
It's just
a tradition. You have traditions. Let him have his traditions. But I really, really felt like when Biniam was calling Ari selfish, I didn't really like. I wasn't a fan of that. I was like, bro, like, she's literally gone out of her way to let you baptize this baby. Mm-hmm. You've circumcised this baby without her really wanting to agree to it. But she did it for you. She did it for you. She's dealt with a lot of punches to be with you, man. And she stood her ground with her mom last week, which to me was a big deal. Big step for Ari. And like, she's obviously giving it a fair shot to be with him. So I was like, you can't do that. You can't call her selfish there.
Totally. I I'm totally with you. I'm definitely rooting for these two. And I think you said it last week on the podcast, but like the worst moments of Ariella were like when she was a week postpartum, has no friends and family, is a first time mom in a country where like she doesn't speak the language, right. She doesn't know the culture, she's all alone. And then even all the stuff with like, oh, who's he talking to on his phone? It's like she's in a house all by herself for like 24 hours a day. I mean, all of us are doing that right now in lockdown. I know I go like stir crazy and I don't have a baby. And I speak the language of my neighbors and I have friends and family. So like 100%. And then especially when you have like his sister kind of goading her, being like, oh, I wonder what he's doing at the club. It's like, what, like, stop. Like, why are we poking her buttons? Because I'm team Ariella. I think she gets a lot of flack. But I really think, yeah, a lot of it is just her being like a first time mom in a new space. And 100%, if you wanted to take my 1 month old baby into a crowd where people are pushing and shoving to get like hosed with water, like, you know, it might be a beautiful tradition and that's great, but like, give me the baby. I'm going to go stand like 30 feet back and you go ahead and get the holy water. Like, that's just, I think it's one of those things where it was like the communication wasn't really there and it was like cultural differences. And because I think what she wanted to say to him was like, you know, I support this day. I'm really excited to celebrate with you, but like, this is not safe for the baby. And what he was saying was like, what do you mean? It's just a little bit of water. What do you, like, why does that matter? And she's like, no, like, it's not the water. It's the pushing and the shoving and being in the crowd and being in the heat and all this. And it's just like one of those things where if they had grown up in the same city, they probably would have had very similar views on this.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I definitely feel like, especially on the internet, Ari gets a lot of hate. My biggest beef with her has been the initial lack of understanding with like, hey, like the living situation here, living standards here are obviously going to be different than the living standards in the States. But the more and more we got on the season, I was like, this is more so from her parents putting pressure, because obviously when her mom left the first time, she was a lot more okay with the living situation. And I'm like, I think the biggest thing she was like freaking out about was the car being priced differently, but obviously import tax and all that, different story. But no, I definitely think that she was unfairly judged. I think that a lot of people, even at points myself included, did not account for the postpartum that was going on as well. You know, it's a lot to take. Again, foreign country, no one speaking the language, you feel like a fish out of water. So, and you just gave birth. So it's like a lot going on. But for this storyline to go from all of those moments to this proposal, I love this proposal so flipping much.
It was so good.
The ring and the lemon was phenomenal. I love that it was true them fashion for the people that were supposed to be behind him with a sign showing up late.
Amazing. So good. Oh, it was so good. And I love that, like, as soon as she handed her baby off to a sister, like, they were right away, like, holding hands, like, laughing, dancing. And I was like, okay, so the answer was babysitter. Like, that was the solution this whole time.
I think that what I'm finding out more and more with Ari is that what she needs is someone to watch her kid that she trusts. And clearly the sister is acceptable. And that's all she needs to know that her baby's secure and safe, and her and Binyam can have a relationship easy and can have moments easy. But like, obviously she's not afforded that given the fact that she doesn't really, I think, I mean, we've seen the rocky relationship she has with his family. So I think that she doesn't really have that like inner circle where she feels comfortable with, especially again, this is a 1 month old baby. I mean, I've not had a baby, but I've watched enough TV to know that, scripted or otherwise, to know that when a baby's young, that initial couple times where you have to leave the baby is going to be hard for the mom. Because I totally loved that they were able to just have fun and for a fleeting moment, just, you know, be together and just enjoy each other's company. And then that, you know, that brought us to this. And I think that the biggest thing for me, the biggest eye opener this episode was really coming to the realization of like, hey, all couples fight. So it's not like they're not bad for each other.
Right.
They're just still like learning about each other, which is something that will happen in a relationship that is long distance. When you start living together, you start learning more and more about each other. And there's going to be things that are going to get on your nerves. There's things that are going to get on their nerves. And just the simple fact is with them too, that you throw a baby into the mix as well. They're learning a new way of living every day because neither of them have lived like this before. So when the baby's not there and when they're not worried about the car, the money, the house, the work, the job, the texting, and they're just together, we saw a glimpse of how happy they make each other. And that made me happy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It was very, very optimistic and happy ending. And I think we haven't had too many of those moments with these two because of all the other drama and stuff that they've had to go through. So it's kind of nice to be like, oh, this is probably why you guys got together in the first place. Like this little spark that you two have. And I was just so proud of Ariella for, especially last week, like standing up to her mom and not just being like, yeah, okay, sounds good. I'll come back with you to the States. Like, you're right. This place is the worst. And actually like sticking it out. And yeah, that was, it was so nice. So nice to see them have that happy moment.
Yeah, I'm very happy with them and how they're doing. By the things I've read on the internet, they're still together, which makes me very happy as well. Very much happy about that. And yeah, and according to In Touch Weekly, once again, the source of all the news that I'm finding, because apparently no other publication wants to do it. They got engaged during the finale. This is recapping the episode, but no, it looks like they're together, Rihanna. And that makes me happy.
That makes me so happy.
I did not think starting to leave the season, I would be rooting for them. But I mean, I think outside of one couple, which we'll definitely touch on, they're second place for me. I'm rooting for them. I would agree.
They definitely, I think you and Jess talked about it last week, and he said that like the whole reason Ari signed up for the show was to help Binyam's career. Like that like switched something in me. I was like, oh, okay. Like that's why she's here. And if she's still like in Ethiopia and they're still together, that's awesome. Cause when we first started this season and the premise was like, you know, they kind of introduced us to Ari and her family. I was like, oh yeah, in a second, this girl's coming right back. Like as soon as she has that baby, she's flying home. Her parents are not going to let her raise a kid in Ethiopia. But she's stuck it out, which is, I'm impressed.
Just like how we were introduced to Ari at the beginning. She looked at that first apartment and was like, what have I signed up for? I don't like this. That's how I felt seeing this couple. And then now we're at the end. We're happy. We've given them a shot. We like what we're getting. And yeah, I'm just low key. I think they might have had the best arcs because to me, we're leaving them in a happy place. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I like to see with this, because we all know 90 Day Fiancé isn't really a show about the perfect couples. I saw a comment on one of the Reddit threads, which was like, you know, this finale reminded me that this is a show about romance because we don't really see the romance. We see the drama. So I loved seeing their storyline come to a happy end like this. And to be honest, I hope we see them again. I want to see more Ari and Binyam.
Me too. Yeah, I think their storyline's been so fun to follow this season. I think just by nature of like, you know, having a baby and going to a country that we don't get to see very often, like that was already just going to be so cool. And then they were an engaging couple, fun to root for. Definitely want to see them again.
Yeah, this is an A+ finish for me. And yeah, I'm very happy about it. Okay. Before we talk about the next couple, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So therefore, it's time to talk about another couple right here on the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up podcast. So you went with Ari and Baby. I'm of two minds of whether I want to end happy or not.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
As I said that, I feel like, you know what? Ending happy should be the way we go here. So I'm going to go talk about Brittany and Yavin, the second biggest storyline of the night, probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'm not going to lie to you. There is some happiness in the storyline for me. And all of that happiness is Adam, the flippin' translator, is back. I love this man. He's become a cult hero on the Reddit. And I don't even care about his Reddit presence. 100% I care about him on the show. It's just, I don't know what it is, but I love it. I love the idea that they keep it texting him like, hey, you up? He's like, yeah, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And then he shows up and then they pay for his food and he gets to talk. I love him. I love Adam, the translator.
Yeah, Adam's the best. Definitely MVP of this storyline, and it makes me mad that we didn't have him for like the first however many weeks of this show. So we could have had more Adam on our screen and just better communication all around, which would have been very helpful.
Yeah, it's very obvious that they got him on retainer now. Like he's been literally a part of the last five conversations between this couple and this family. So while looking at the Brittany and Yazan storyline, Brittany and Yazan want to talk about the stuff Obeida said the previous episode, which was the she finds out finally, hey, homeboy's in danger and you need to know this stuff. So Yazan does, and I can speak to this coming from the region. Yazan says, don't worry about it. My dad operates the same way. My mom kind of operates the same way, where in an effort to not worry us, they're not honest with us. They won't tell us what's going on. I've found out, like, this was like maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago or so. My dad had some kind of surgery. It wasn't like a serious vital one. It was like, not vital. It wasn't like a serious life or death type thing. Right. But I didn't find out until like 3 months later. I was like, I'm sorry. This is the kind of thing that I would like to be like let in on. Right. So he does that very much. Like it resonated with me. I was like, I've seen this before. I felt this before, but he was like, yeah, don't worry about it. She's like, no. I can't not do that. Yeah. And then we find out he tells her exactly what we've heard. Yazan's dad tell Obeida, which was, their family relative, they're talking about her being a porn star and that they're probably married, they're probably sleeping with each other. And we learn a little bit more about Yazan's upbringing, Yazan's family, and the way Yazan's family operates. So we find out that it's kind of like the immediate family, the distant family, like it's all one tribe. And this is... like, it's kind of like you're a member of this tribe, therefore you have to abide by these rules. So very obviously Yazan knows full well that he's going to go against the tribe, and he knows that the tribe's not going to be happy with his decision. So he tells her there's two options here that could happen. One option is that they disown me. The other option is that they may kill me. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously there's one option here that's better than the other.
Yep.
But I think to Yazan, that even isn't an option. I don't think Yazan wants to lose this family at all. And he's willing to do, he wants to fix it, right? The whole thing of him talking to Obeida to talk to his dad is to fix this so that he can have both. Again, he's kind of in the submit spot where he wants both. He wants the family's approval and he wants Brittany.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I thought it was good that Brittany could finally, because I think last week, she kind of got an idea of what was happening, like with the conversation with Obeida, but then to have Yazan actually be like, okay, yeah, that's true. Like, this is actually what's happening. Have Adam confirm it and be like, okay, she finally understands like the gravity of this situation. And I think we saw like a much more mature Brittany this week than we have seen in the past, which was needed. I was very glad to see this side of Brittany finally.
Same. Honestly, it sounds like Brittany's coming to her senses, or just understanding better the importance of this situation at hand. It's not a joke. He wasn't like stringy. He wasn't being dramatic. This is real. So it's very clear she's understanding this. However, the way she goes about trying to understand this and talk to him about it is very much like, dude, you don't want to be with him. Just say it. Like, he's like Yasa's essentially like, dude, I'm gonna die, but I would like to be with you, so I don't care. And she's like, I hear that, but it's complicated. So I'm going to dip. I'm going to leave, and then we'll talk later. He's like, but I kind of need the answer now. I'll let you know. I got you. Like, well, what are you doing?
I think Brittany is just holding out. She's sort of saying like, okay, well, I obviously don't want to marry this person. Like, I'm not actually signing up for, life in Jordan with him. But I also don't want to say no to a future appearance on 90 Day. So how do I sort of straddle this line, keep him on the hook without, getting him killed, but also without killing my chances of another TV appearance? Like, that's where I think Brittany's at right now.
It's like, how do I finesse a bag out of this? Yeah. Is Brittany. Like, because like the thing that like hurt my heart, honestly, was hearing Yazan say, listen, forget about everything. Pretend that I'm not in this deep trouble. Pretend that nothing's happening. I'm not going to be disowned. The tribe's not mad at me. Is this decision of you wanting to be with me coming from your heart? Or are you just doing it to like save my life? Right. Because I think that's what I've learned about Yazan throughout this trip, is that he just wants to love her.
Yeah.
And it sucks because she doesn't want to love him. She doesn't. She doesn't. I'm sorry. Like, she does not. There's no way.
No.
So, and then like he takes her to this place that he wanted to share with her. He she says she feels like she knows he loves her and all that stuff. She's concerned. She thinks Jordan is in the best place and thinks it's best for them to go to America. And Yasin very honestly in a confessional says, "My going to America isn't a dream for me. This isn't something that I've wanted." She has no idea about the visa, but she's not ready to marry Yasin. And her thought is that, hey, maybe if we apply for the K-1, that gives me time to figure it out. I can tell you this for a fact. You have to sign a document when you apply for the K-1 visa that states, as the American, as like the petitioner, my name is Brittany Blank, and I certify that I will marry this man within 90 days, or I intend on marrying within 90 days. Obviously, when you come into like the show, it talks about it and like the visa's nature, you are told you have the option to marry within 90 days. But 9 times out of 10, people are doing this knowing full well they're going to get married in those 90 days. Right. So that's not really an option. So for her to be like, how am I, you know, mess around and throw an application later? His life is in the balance. Like, you can't just be playing like, I don't know with this.
Right. And I think her thinking was like, oh, getting the visa is going to take a while. So, you know, it'll take us like whatever, a year to get the visa.
Yeah.
But what's the point? Because that would be a year that you're apart. I imagine like she's thinking, okay, I'm going back to the States and I'll wait for you until the visa. So what? You're going to like keep having video chats and that's going to be how you guys decide if you should get married or not? Like, probably not. Like, that's just, it's just such a strange plan of hers. And it's totally that. Like, you can see that fear in her eyes of like, oh, wow, this got real. Like, I'm not ready for it. I need to bow out, but in a way that kind of like still keeps him on the line because I don't want to, I don't know, either I don't want to break his heart or I don't want to lose my TV opportunity. I don't know exactly where it's coming from, but she's not quite cutting him loose. So, you know what? I take back what I said. I'm not that proud of Brittany. I'm marginally proud. I'm prouder than in past weeks, but like she's still not doing great.
No, I think that ultimately for me, I don't fault her if she's not ready. Like she also just got divorced on the show. We saw that. And obviously she's gone through this before and has been wrong. Doesn't want to make a mistake twice. I fully get it. You want to make sure that this time it's the right choice, or however you want to phrase it. So that's fine. It's completely acceptable. And I think it's completely mature of you to make. The problem is when he's very clear in what he wants and what he not just wants, sorry, what he needs is this. You can't be wishy-washy with it. It's unfortunate, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have him, but also not like commit to him, because he needs that commitment in order to repair his relationships with his family and make sure that, in his words, he has not made a mistake in going against his family. Because I'll tell you this, the K-1 visa process, if you're lucky, it will take a year. It's probably going to take closer to 2 years, especially if you're coming from a country in the Middle East. It's tedious. It takes a while. And I understand that he's probably not, Jordan's not really in the Middle East. It's like more Western Asia. Same thing. In this instance, same thing for the discussion and for the processing time. So that's going to happen. They need to give hella evidence. Obviously, a lot of the K-1 relationships come with a long distance tag to it, because like you can't be together in the same place unless you bring them over. Kind of thing. So I think that would be fine. The problem is that there's a lot of repairing that needs to be done in this family and with the relationships of this family. And he can't do that without knowing what they are, because he's told her multiple times, I can't have a girlfriend. That's not in my culture or in my family to have a girlfriend. I need, like, it's either we're friends or you're my wife. Like, there's not really a middle. And while I don't subscribe to that ideology, that's what he subscribes to. And if she likes him, she should respect that.
Yeah, and she just can't. She can't like give him what he needs right now. And it broke my heart when they're like in the car heading to the airport, and he's saying like, "Okay, so like the plan is to get married," because like he knows what a K-1 visa is. He knows that means 90 days to get married. And she's saying, "Oh yeah, you know, we have a lot to talk about. We have to go through the process, blah blah blah." And it's like, "Oh, honey, like he can't. That's not what he needs right now. Like he needs that commitment in order to move on with his life, to chat with his family, to make these plans. And if you can't offer him that, like you need to let him go." And I just don't know. I don't understand where her head's at, because even if he comes over, like he doesn't speak great English, he's not going to have a community. Like it's just going to be you. And like, what does her future look like? Like obviously the activities she you know, takes part in Florida, he's not a big fan of. He doesn't seem to appreciate when she's wearing bathing suits or she's, you know, doing her rap videos or whatever. So just like, just one more step further. Like, what does your ideal life look like with this man? Because it seems to be like just not a thing that either of them can really do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a, they're just, they've never been a healthy relationship from the jump. And it's been, you know, it's not been pleasant. Again, I've, for me, this one hits more to home because I'm, you know, I was born and raised in the Middle East. I was born and raised with a lot of these beliefs, instilled into me that I ended up not taking or not holding. So I definitely understand his pain. And I definitely, cause like, if I genuinely felt that she wants to be with him, I would totally get where she's coming from. The problem is I don't, and I feel like a bad person, but I, because I'm like thinking so negatively about somebody, but also I've seen the post. I've seen what she's been doing the whole time. So let's quick spoiler alert this. They're not together, right? Yeah. The show's over. They're not together. She's been like posting videos of him, like apparently drinking and doing stuff and like, you know, airing his laundry online when we know that, like she, like he's gonna be, it's gonna be troublesome for him. He can't have that. But no, she's been doing all this, even though she's not with him. She's had no intention of being with him. And yeah, good riddance. I hope we don't see her again.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't need to. This one just seemed so fake to me from the beginning. Like, at least all the other relationships, there is like a little semblance of like, oh, okay, like you have a history together or you have a child together or, you know, you've been together for a really long time or whatever. This one really just seemed like, okay, you know, who's really wanted to be on the show and not wanted to be in a relationship. That was definitely the feel I got from Brittany from day one. So happy to not have her on my screen anymore.
Yeah, and Yazan's not talked about her at all throughout the season. I think someone from one of the older seasons of 90 Day was like publicly, what was his name? Soldier Boy. I think Soldier Boy was like sliding into Britney's mentions, trying to get it in with Britney, which was fascinating for a minute. Yeah, that was a thing that I remember seeing at one point while it was actually, we were in the middle of a podcast. And I think it was when we were looking up Colty's OnlyFans, or like not his like page, but like reading about it. And I saw one of the comments had mentioned that. So yeah, fascinating stuff there.
Oh boy.
You will not be missed, Brittany. You won't. Yazan's still alive and well. So
thank
we
goodness.
Wish him good luck. And yeah, hopefully the best for him. And I will say before we head on out with this couple, Obeda wanting to offer help was so sincere and so wholesome, and I loved it. But the worst part was him hearing that, him saying, oh, I was doubtful of you until this very moment, but now I know you're real. It's like, she got you too. You fell for it as well.
Yeah, I think he switched as soon as he heard that she was like kind of concerned. Like, she didn't want to leave until she knew that he would be safe. And in Obeda's mind, he was like, oh, that must mean like she really loves him and she really cares for him. It's like, no, she just doesn't want literal blood on her hands. Like, that's the concern here. It's not
no
because
blood on the conscience.
Yeah, she doesn't want to marry him tomorrow. She just doesn't want him to die, which is, you know, like a good human response.
I've never. Because I feel like with every other person in these couples that we're talking about, it's like, I'm feeling relatively okay about, even at the worst. I've never felt so negatively about a 90-day person since, like, talking about the show and thinking about the show, like, critically and not just being a viewer on the low. She just infuriated me all season. So I'm very happy to know that we're most likely not going to see her again. I'm happy about that.
Agreed.
All right. And last but not least, to finish the show on a high note, to finish the season on a high note, Rihanna, take us through the Kenny and Armando storyline here.
All right. So the couple that literally rode off into the sunset at the end of the cliff, which is just my whole heart. So we start with, they get an email from Human Rights And in wonderful news, their case has been solved. They're going to be able to go and get their marriage license. And it was just such a lovely moment, such a nice win for this couple that's been like trying to get married for a while now. And then we find out it's COVID time. And Armando does the cutest thing. He draws a little bug on Hannah's hand and says, okay, you have to wash this off. This is the COVID bug. Like, you have to wash your hands all day until this comes off, which I thought was so cute. And it was so nice. I think this must have been filmed at like a different time because it was obvious they were using like their own cameras, like it wasn't like professional. But it was just so nice to see these like actual peeks into their lives, like real life, not, you know, set up for the cameras of them like cooking together and going out on walks together. And you can hear like Kenny has like three more words of Spanish, which is really nice to see.
Was it dos papas?
Yeah, dos papas, so cute. And he comes in, he's like, oh, mi amor, te amo. And I was like, oh, Kenny, you did it. Like, four words of Spanish. It's so sweet. And then they go and tell Hannah that they got approved, and she's so happy for them. She says, like, familia siempre, or family forever. I clearly don't speak Spanish, but and she's so excited, and she asks if Kenny's going to be her real dad, and they just have a big group hug, and like, oh, just the tears streaming. Just so much happiness and loveliness with these guys.
Yeah. This couldn't have been a better way for us to end this season, honestly. Uh-huh. They are literally couple goals. They're quarantine couple goals. Like, yep. The way they handled lockdown was phenomenal. It was very clear that they used this time to embrace one another. And Kenny and Hannah's relationship growing is so lovely to see. You know, for all the crap we've given him on this podcast about him not learning the language, it's very evident to me that he doesn't need to know the language to love this girl. And he does love her with his whole chest. And I appreciate that from him.
100%. And it's so interesting, actually, that you say that, like them just really like thriving in lockdown and using that as a time to bond. And you contrast that with like Devin and Jihoon in lockdown, who went the opposite way, right? Mm-hmm. Like there was no bonding, no loving each other, no getting, you know, over language barriers or anything with the kids. So that's mm-hmm. super interesting. And I don't know if it's just because they're, you know, in a better relationship or maybe like having more space. I know like Devin and Jihoon are really cooped up in that little apartment. But yeah, interesting to look at different ways the couples survived or did not survive lockdown.
Right. I mean, for me, I moved in with Liana right as lockdown intensified, right? Because I got here, the border shut down the next day.
Right.
And then it was like, we're living together for the first time ever in the relationship. And obviously there was a lot of hard times, but I think 8 months removed now, I don't think either of us would have wanted this to be any other way. Just like Kenny and Armando were talking about it. We're happy that the move happened right before lockdown because we couldn't imagine being in a spot where we were apart with all this going on. So, it is like, it's literally, and it's big team building energy being a couple in quarantine, because this is like, you're learning how to be together 24 hours a day, pretty much at the start, right? So it's a lot of, and like every little thing can bother you, but no, the way they handled it looks amazing. I loved how, like, here's what I love about Kenny. He can't speak the language, but he can organize a picnic and get rent horses and stuff.
This, I have this in my notes in all caps. Like, how did you do this without speaking Spanish?
I think there is a surprise somewhere. I feel like he probably knows more than the show would let us know. Oh. I assume, because I feel like, you know, he's in lockdown. Maybe he got Duolingo and just started going at it.
Okay.
Like, yeah. But the show was like, hey, we want the memesters to keep making fun of him. So we'll not show that. My theory, because like he was able to get a picnic going. He found a location that it was like very sweet. He got horseback ready for them to go. Like this was, I was like, okay, Kenny, do your thing. No, they're absolutely wholesome. I loved seeing them happy. I love that they got approved. I love that the show didn't wait. I love that the first thing we saw was the email and they were like, you got approved. I love that. Yeah. So yeah. That I mean, I'm just happy right now. That's it.
So happy. Yeah, their little picnic on the beach was just so cute. And Armando sort of saying like, oh, you know, this is the happiness I longed for. There's nothing wrong with our love. I was just, the tears kept coming, just flowing. My theory with how Kenny set this all up, I think he found some sort of like website that caters to tourists in Mexico and charges like 8 times the actual price for picnics and horse rentals, but it was like all in English. So he was like, okay, here we go. So like, I don't know.
Small price to pay for not knowing the language.
Yeah. That's my theory. There's some like gringo website that he was all about. But he made it happen. They're quoting Brokeback Mountain, like just so, so wholesome, so cute. Loved it.
I can't believe this is the end of the 90 Day Fiancé the other way.
I know.
So there was a tease that at some point there's going to be some kind of a tell-all potentially, based on reading some of these things as we were going along today. So it's possible. We don't know yet. If it happens, I'll be back to talk about it. That is for sure. But I would like to make an announcement on 90 Day, the original, which is coming back this Sunday. So, as you may know, we've got the new 90 Day Fiancé season coming out. And this season is going to have some old favorites back at it again, which I cannot believe we're getting. We're getting the likes of Tariq and Hazel. We're getting Rebecca and Ziad. And we're getting a third couple who I keep forgetting, but for good reason, because I didn't really care about them the first time. They're from last season. I think they were from last season. Either way, okay? Either way, I'm excited to announce that this season of 90 Day Fiancé will be co-hosted with Rob Cesternino himself.
Whoa, bring in the big guns.
That's right. We're doing a big move here for the original season. I'll be talking with Rob every week on Mondays about the show. If any other 90 Day content pops up, I'll be back with one of the amazing people that I've been with throughout this journey on the 90 Day Fiancé Rahapa podcast. You will see them back once more. And you'll probably see some people back on the main one as well with Rob and myself guesting there. So you might be getting double 90 Day. If anything else pops up in the 90 Day world, I'll be back to talk about it. But otherwise, the original is going to be talked with Rob. I believe you're going to get it both on the main feed and this feed. So you're safe. If you're still here, no, we're not going anywhere. We're still here. But no, I'm excited for this. It's going to be fun. And I'm very excited for Rob to take a full season of 90 Day Fiancé.
I am so excited. Does he watch it at all? Or is this his first time jumping in?
Not as complete for them. So him and Akiva and Hannah was their guest, watched, I believe, the first season, the first episode of Big Neck Ed's season of Before the 90 Days. Yeah. So he's gotten a taste of it, which was enough for him to be willing to give this project a shot. So
this is going to be great. I cannot. You two are going to have a blast going through this. I can't wait.
I'm very, very excited. I'm sad, though, that the other way is over, honestly.
It's so sad.
I didn't think it. See, here's the problem is that I've been complaining that the show's too long, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But also, they didn't prepare me for the end. I didn't come into this week thinking I'm going to have to say goodbye to it. So I wasn't ready. Yep. So I didn't want this to end like this, but it seems like it has for now, at least.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for some sort of a tell all, even a Strikes Back. I'll take it. I'll take it if I have to.
I'll take it. I will complain. If there are three episode tell alls, I will complain. But give me all three, even. I will still take them.
This is how it works. We complain, we hate watch, we talk about how garbage it is, but what we tune in every week. Like, don't get us wrong. We're there every week.
Yeah. The Hot Mess Express will never stop and will always keep going. The tracks are never ending. Correct. Rihanna, thank you so much for going through this finale with me today. Where can people find you?
You are so welcome. It was a blast. People can find me if they want. I am on Twitter at TSP Adventure, which is my travel and book blog, Teaspoon of Adventure.
I love that name. Love the Teaspoon of Adventure. Yeah. You can find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch.tv. It's Puyaism for all four. I will be back talking Masked Singer this week. We're about to go through a triple unmasking in one episode. It's going to be intense. I am not ready for it, but we're going to have to roll with the punch. I'll be back with Liana Boris, of course, talking about all of those things. And as far as my Twitch content goes, I will be continuing doing that on Friday nights, on Sundays with the Among Us stream. So you can check those out over on Twitch. And as I just mentioned, I will be back talking 90 Day Fiancé season 8 with Rob starting next week. And I'm excited for all those prospects, and I hope you are too. Ooh. We have now reached the destination. It's time to get off the Hot Mess Express. But of course, we'll be back with more next week. Take care. Have a good one. We'll see you next time. Bye.